In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation is the gospel reading, especially the following words. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet in a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you in remembrance of all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to the seminary where life is easy all the time with birds and flowers and trees and Greek. Are you enjoying Greek? You're probably wondering by now, at least some of you, what have I gotten myself into? Well, let me help you a little bit with Dr. Nordling. In today's text, we have a word that means orphan, orphanus. It's an adjective, masculine, plural, accusative, with no degree or a positive degree. But let not your hearts be troubled. No matter how hard Greek is, no matter how much you sweat at night and wonder if you're all alone and that you are the worst Greek student that has ever been on the face of the earth, or at least on this campus, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is with you, and if the past is any indication, you all will pass. And pretty soon, it will be September, and the regular tribulations of seminary life will begin as you learn by what it is that Dr. Martin Luther said when he said that all of life of a theologian is prayer, struggle, and what was the other one? Better do it in Latin someday. Okay. The problem is that the world can be a very lonely place. Even apart from seminary, we need to remind ourselves that we're strangers in a strange land. Sometimes we can be kind of fooled because the world is a very comfortable place, especially in the 21st century, the United States of America. All kinds of comforts, all kinds of Christian language in the world, but it doesn't take too terribly long before you forget, before you remember what you often forget, and that is that this is a strange place. I just heard that a brand new Republican presidential candidate, touted as the most conservative in the field, has as one of his campaign managers a practicing lesbian who is having a child. A strange place, isn't it? This is a world that can make you feel very much alone if you pay too close of attention and see what is happening in here. After all, the ruler of this world, we are told, is Satan, that we struggle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and all that goes on in the air. This world is a lonely place sometimes. Sometimes it is very comfortable as you become a pastor or you take up a ministry as a deaconess in the church because there are many very pleasant, wonderful Christian people who come to you and take care of you and say nice things about you. But it's not long before you find that the world has not been left outside the church door. The same thing that the medieval monks discovered when they went into the monastery is that the world doesn't stay at the outside because it comes within us. Because we are both saints and sinners at the same time, sometimes being a pastor can be a very lonely thing. People sometimes just simply do not want to hear the truth. If they want to live with the person that they're going to get married to, and you suggest to them that that probably isn't a good idea, they may not be happy. When you stand up for the truth, which means sometimes telling people that they can't come to the communion rail, they may not react with the same sense of humbleness that King David did by saying, I am a sinner and repenting. Instead, they may call you all kinds of names and make you feel very much alone. Sometimes when you're wearing the stole and you hear a confession, or even if you're wearing it virtually and you hear a confession, and you know that you cannot share this even with your wife, you can feel very, very, very much alone. As if that's not bad enough, sickness and disaster has this way of doing the same thing for you. It reminds you that life is temporary, and when you're in the midst of all kinds of sickness and disease, especially serious ones, you begin to wonder if anyone has ever suffered like you have suffered. You feel very much alone and abandoned. You might even appreciate the opening words to Psalm 22, quoted by our Lord on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? By the way, if you do that, read the way all the way through the psalm. It is quite comforting when you get to the end. Not only sickness and disaster, but soon time begins to claim one friend after another. Even in our society with long lifetimes, the older you get, the more you find yourself checking the obituary pages, wondering which friend will have passed away. And someday, one or another of your very closest friends, perhaps even your spouse, will be taken from you. On days like that, you can feel very much alone and wonder, where is God and why hasn't he brought you home too, out of this vale of tears, out of the valley of the shadow of death? We can often feel like the prophet Elijah. You know, I scratch my head at Elijah sometimes until I realize the trouble he was in. He had just come from Mount Carmel. How much more affirmation could you want? Fire from heaven, slurp. There goes all of your sacrifice. Not a whit of an answer from Baal and from all of his friends. And you manage to knock off the whole priesthood of the priests of Baal in one fell swoop. You think he'd be kind of happy. But it's not days later that he is in front of God saying, I am the only one. I am alone. But Elijah was mistaken. And when we're feeling alone, we're mistaken too. Because we really are never alone. God is the God of the widow and the orphan, he says very much in the Old Testament. And he comes through for us. Even when we are truly alone, he is with us. He was with us before the creation of the world, when he saw us and planned to create us and to give us his name, when he sent his son Jesus to die so that we might live forever. When we were born and he came into our lives and put us into the hands of faithful parents, friends, and pastors and teachers, so that someday we would be led even to this place to prepare to be one who helps others. He has always been with you and will be with you, even in Greek. By his death, after all, Jesus broke down the barrier between us and God. Nothing separates us from him anymore. He is with us, he promised, even until the end of the age itself. And as if that weren't enough, and it sure is, he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to lead us into all good things, to call us by his gospel, to enlighten us with his gifts, to sanctify and keep us in the true Christian faith. Now we are never alone, and because of that, we can serve others. Just as Elijah went forth from the mountain with a job to do, so also we will go forth with the call that God gives us to care and to lead, to guide, to bring God's word to others, to care for them when they are in need and when they are alone, and to relieve as much as possible their physical and spiritual loneliness with the word of God itself. And then that day will come when not only will we not be alone, but we will be with God and with the saints in heaven, with all who have come before us, on the day when we will either intuitively know how to speak Greek or Hebrew, or we won't care, when we will be in the presence of God forever and ever, where there is no more sorrow or sighing or grief or pain, for all those things will have passed away. And so, let me say it again a little bit less humorously, welcome to seminary. The Lord has called you here, and he has a job for you to do. And not only are you not alone because God is with you, but the rest of us are here too. So if you need anything, remember that there's a library over there, and we're ready to help. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.